everyone. Welcome back to Relax with Animal Facts. I am Steph Wolf, and today I am going to be learning with you about our furry, scaly, or possibly even slimy friends. And in today's case, it is definitely going to be a scaly friend of ours, because we are covering the oh-so-wonderful American alligator. This, of course, is a very special listener episode and was requested by many of you. This episode is dedicated to Anna, Timothy, Wyatt, Annabelle, Luke, Shauna, Duncan, Hattie, Demi, Ashley, Brian, Sarah, and Bird Lady. You know, I have gotten asked by a few people why I don't move the episode dedication to the end, especially because more and more people are requesting the same animals, and we tried it on one episode, but I really didn't like doing it. I like to put you guys right up front and center to underscore the fact that this show is by you and for you. But let's move on. If you are not a patron already, I invite you there. For as little as $1 a month, you can join me on 4 extra adventures. You can also vote on new episodes and things like that. And so patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts, or you can just click the Patreon link in the description. A big shout out to George Vlad for the ambiance in today's episode. His sound work is linked in the description, and I encourage you to check him out. And now, let us begin to wind down a little bit. If this is your first episode of the show, I welcome you with open arms to our animal podcast family, and if you are returning, you know exactly what I am going to be asking of you. I have 3 primary exhortations for you. My first encouragement to you is that you put on a pair of shoes that you don't mind getting all mucky. We are certainly going to be needing those for where we are going today. And my second exhortation is arguably the most important. Realize perhaps where you are carrying some tension and do your best to just let it go. For you, that might be in the head or the neck, maybe even the arms. Everyone here is different, but my encouragement to you is the same. Here on the show, we become Jell-O. Bring up in your mind a flavor or color of Jell-O that you like, and do your best Oscar award-winning impression of it. We want to give such a performance that we just pry another Oscar away from Leonardo DiCaprio. It is also possible that you don't know where you carry tension, and if that is the case, you can start from the bottom of your feet in your mind and just scan all the way up to the top of the head, relaxing as you go. This, by some, I believe is called progressive relaxation, but I prefer to use more scientific nomenclature, and so I call this becoming Jell-O. My third and final exhortation to you is to give your mind permission to wander and journey with me into a swamp in North Carolina where the American alligator resides. What a wonderful place we are in today. I think that swamps are among the less visited places for us. We frequently go to forests, mountains, oceans, but we could probably count on 2 hands the amount of times that we have come to a place like this. I venture to guess that maybe 12 out of the 13 people that requested this animal are from Florida. You guys love your crocodiles and your alligators. So here in this swampy area, we are looking for a creature that is reminiscent of dinosaurs. Who said that dinosaurs were extinct? The name American alligator is their common name. Their scientific name is Alligator mississippiensis. We are going to learn about their name, alligator, at the end, so we will leave that for now. But the latter part of their name, mississippiensis, is probably a little bit intuitive to you. Frequently, contained within the scientific name of an animal will be their geographical location, that which is most characteristic for them, or perhaps where they were found most often. In the case of the American alligator, that is the Mississippi River. That, of course, is not the only place in which they are found, but it was frequent or characteristic enough of this American alligator that it earned them this scientific name. These, of course, are reptiles. What else could they be? Meaning they eat other animals. They don't waste time with salads or anything vegetarian. They go straight for the meat. And for those who have seen American alligators in real life, you know that this creature is pretty big. In fact, on average, they will be from between 10 to 15 feet in length. In addition to that very lengthy size, they will be a whopping 1,000 pounds on average, about 450 kilograms. They are the largest reptile in North America. These things really are dinosaurs. I think it is worth our time right off the bat to distinguish between alligators and crocodiles. At a passing glance, one could definitely confuse the two. Alligators are darkly colored with a broad, rounded snout and are often found in fresh water. Crocodiles, on the other hand, are a grayish green and prefer coastal, brackish, and saltwater habitats. Their snout, instead of being broad and rounded, will be narrow, tapered, and triangular. Their physical characteristics, along with their geographical distribution, make it a little bit easier to tell them apart. The American alligator is an armored, lizard-like creature. The darker skin of this animal is covered with small, bony scales called scutes. This is what gives it that Jurassic look. They have incredibly powerful jaws, muscular tails, and at least to me, scratch an itch of something Jurassic. American alligators almost exclusively reside in freshwater rivers. And while we are here in this swamp in North Carolina, we could have been in a few places in the southeastern United States. We could have been, of course, in Florida and in Louisiana. And apart from swamps, we can find them in freshwater rivers, lakes, and marshes. You are more likely to see them in the water rather than out of it. They are made extraordinarily well for the water. On land, however, because their anatomy and physiology is not as well suited for this purpose, they can look a little slow and maybe even clumsy. But that is not at all the case. It is definitely worth mentioning that while we are more likely to encounter them in the water, they can still be very difficult to spot out. You might even mistake them for a stick or a log in the water. Oftentimes, they will float or swim only with their eyes and their nostrils exposed. To the undiscerning eye, you might not even think it an animal. But of course, once they come outside of the water, it is really hard to miss them. They can swim, run, walk, and even crawl. An interesting thing about alligators is that they walk with their legs directly beneath them. Most reptiles walk with their legs in a diagonal position, but you can notice with the alligator that due to their legs being directly beneath them, they can lift their tails fully off of the ground as they move. Let's talk about their hunting. As we learned at the top of the show, American alligators are carnivores. They eat frogs, fish, invertebrates, birds, and mammals. The main giveaway that they are carnivores is their sharp teeth and their strong jaws. Their jaws are so strong, in fact, that they are powerful enough to pierce right through the shell of a turtle. The bite force of the American alligator is one of the strongest recorded for any living animal. It is estimated to be from between 2,125 to 2,960 pounds per square inch, or PSI. I imagine that for most of us, pressure measurements can be a little hard to conceptualize, and so here are some things that can help us understand it better. Let's compare their bite force to ours. The average human bite force is around 162 psi. This means that the American alligator's bite force is about 13 to 18 times stronger than ours. What about the great white shark? Their bite force is estimated at around 625 psi. It is amazing to think that the bite of a great white shark is at 625 psi, while that of an American alligator can be more than 2,900, several times stronger than the bite of a creature that we all esteem as one of the most feared predators of the ocean. Someone might object, well, what about the lion? The king of the jungle has a bite force of about 650 psi, again nearly five times weaker than that of a very strong American alligator. Now, the bite force of the American alligator is not the only thing that makes them a feared predator. Just like crocodiles, they perform a behavior known as the death roll. I think this is a behavior that is very well named. The death roll is a very important part of the alligator's hunting technique, particularly when they are dealing with larger prey. This is how they perform the death roll. They will firmly clamp down on their prey, again with a just sub 3000 psi bite force, and then proceed to spin their entire body rapidly in the water. The force of their jaws with the torque of their body creates a force that is designed to tear off whatever they are biting on. It is hard to think of anything that won't be dismembered or incapacitated by such a maneuver. There is a dual purpose to the death roll that, in addition to tearing off whatever it is biting on, for those larger animals that are still alive while kept in their jaws, it is easy for them to drown as they are twisted beneath the water. It is important to note that the death roll is not some superfluous or non-necessary thing that they do. This creature lacks the ability to properly chew or tear its food while it is stationary. Its anatomy and physiology doesn't allow them to do this well. And so, given these anatomical constraints, the death roll comes in handy as a way that allows them to handle and process their food. While the death roll is primarily used during feeding time, they have also been seen to use it as a defensive maneuver. If they are threatened in some way and have been found in the jaws of another animal, you can imagine how difficult it would be to hold on to this roller coaster of an animal. So maybe in this case, it is not really a death roll, but a life roll for the alligator. American alligators hunt predominantly at nighttime. That means that in addition to their natural camouflage, as they can look like logs or sticks in the water, they use the darkness of the night as an additional way to gain the advantage in an ambush. Given those anatomical constraints that we have just spoken about, they are forced to swallow large chunks of meat instead of chewing it like we do. For small prey, they will just swallow them whole, but if the prey is larger, they will tear off manageable chunks to swallow instead. An interesting thing about these creatures is that though they do not hibernate, they will undergo periods of dormancy when the weather becomes cold. Does that even happen in Florida or North Carolina? For those of you who are outside of Canada, Florida seems to be the go-to destination for Canadians who want to escape real cold weather, but there are probably aspects of American weather that I don't know. But anyways, if the weather were to become cold, they could excavate what is called a gator hole. It is a little place that they dig out along a waterway that is used when the seasonal temperature falls. In areas where the water level fluctuates, they can dig themselves into hollows in the mud, which then fill with water. The tunnels can be as long as 65 feet, around 20 meters in length, and will provide that needed protection during more extreme periods of weather. There are many other animals that will use these burrows that they have made for their own use. In the wild, American alligators can live about 50 years, quite a long time. One might think, what animal would dare to hunt the alligator? And the answer is that not many. They are mostly in danger when they are younger and before they have reached full length. After they reach about 4 feet in length, alligators are mostly safe from predators, with the exceptions, of course, of humans and occasionally even other alligators. Males can occupy areas greater than 2 square miles, and both males and females extend their ranges during the breeding season. Female alligators usually remain in a small area. Once the young baby American alligators have been born, they will remain in the area where they have been hatched and where their mother protects them. After a period of 2 to 3 years, they will leave that area in search of some food or when other larger alligators desire them out. It is the female American alligator that will build a nest of vegetation for the young. The nest will be between 7 to 10 feet, or about 2.1 to 3 meters in diameter, and 2 to 3 feet high. They will lay, on average, from between 35 to 50 eggs, but some females can lay up to 90. In a single lifetime, they can go through 2,000 to 3,000 teeth, frequently losing them and growing them back. This next fact might not seem so intuitive, but the American alligator is a very communicative creature. Here are some ways in which they communicate. During the mating season, they will engage in loud, distinctive bellowing calls. It is the males that will initiate this vocalization, and it can be heard over long distances. These bellows are basically just low-pitched roars that can last for several seconds. When they bellow, their bodies will actually vibrate, and if you were to look really closely, you can see water dancing on their back due to the sound produced. Mothers will communicate with their baby alligators. They will use grunts or chirps, while baby alligators will return the favor with a high-pitched chirping sound. Perhaps one of the more well-known forms of alligator communication is their threat display. They may hiss or produce a guttural growl as a warning signal. They will also use more non-verbal communication by putting their body in a posture that says, "Don't mess with me." Now let me tell you about a true story regarding an American alligator named Chubbs. This massive alligator was spotted and filmed at the Buffalo Creek Golf Course in Palmetto, Florida. It was estimated to be around 15 feet long and became viral after it was posted online. Chubbs has become somewhat of a local celebrity and continues to inspire awe in all who look at Chubbs. If you have not seen a video of Chubbs before, it is truly remarkable. It straight up just looks like a dinosaur. But now, let us move on to the name of the creature, alligator. What does it mean or where does it come from? The word that we use to describe this creature, we have been using as early as the 1560s, and it is simply a corruption of a Spanish word, el lagarto, which basically just means the lizard. This comes from the Latin word lacertus, which means lizard. So our word is just a butchered import of a Spanish word, which comes from Latin. That is pretty cool. And now, let us move on to the dad joke of the episode. Dad jokes are kind of the death rolls of comedy. No life is left after their uttering. But having said this, check this out. What do you call an alligator who is wearing Crocs on his feet? A traitor. You know what? That one is actually a little too good. Let me do another one. Check this out too. What do you call an alligator who is holding a compass? A navigator. See, you want to stick with the dad jokes that just shoot chills down your spine. We don't want it to be too witty, too clever, as those are redeeming qualities that kind of take away from the shock of a dad joke, and so we had options today. Let's go over to some of your Spotify responses. On Spotify, I have the ability to ask you guys questions, and then here on the show, I read three of your responses. The question that I asked last week was, if you had to research one animal for the rest of your life as an animal researcher, which animal would you choose? Essa Perona wrote, the Tasmanian tiger, because the human race caused their extinction, but some people believe that they may still be alive. If there is any truth to that, I would love to find this amazing animal again. That is a good one because I'm sure there is still much to learn about their anatomy and physiology, perhaps from fossils and things like that. And if you happen to find one that is still alive, what an amazing moment that would be. That is why I have dedicated my entire life and existence to finding Bigfoot. It's too bad there are no fossils, though. Taze, or Taza, writes, I'd research great white sharks only because I'd love to learn more about the ocean than we already know, their opponents, their distance capabilities, etc., etc. That is also a good one. I have always heard the fact that we have explored only 2% of our world's oceans, and I'm not sure exactly how true that is, but regardless of the precision of the statement, the sentiment most certainly is true. Also, great white sharks are super cool. Kay wrote, octopuses, or I suppose octopi, they get up to so much mischief and are capable of so many cool things. So much to find out. There's also enough species to maintain a good range of interest. You know what? I second this. If orangutans and primates in general just straight up did not exist, I think that octopi would be really cool. We learned on one of the octopi episodes together just how smart they are. They are little puzzle solvers, always up to some mischief. They kind of remind me of crows, except ones with suction cups, I guess. It was, again, really difficult to only choose three of you guys to read, but thank you all for responding. The review of the episode on Apple Podcasts is coming from Comic HN, who has written all the way from Great Britain. Comic writes, "This podcast is amazing. Its calming and relaxing tone helps me get to sleep so quickly. I have mental health issues, which means I find it significantly hard to get to sleep. I am relatively new to the idea of podcasts, but after discovering this one, I have been sleeping like a log. Really fascinating and enjoyable. Would recommend. thank you, Comic, for the very mindful and kind review. I am so happy that you are a part of our animal podcast family and that it helps you in the way that it does. I am always so encouraged to hear how the show helps you, whether it be for learning or for sleep or whatever. I do this show for you guys, and honestly, you are all the reason this show exists and why it keeps going. If you are listening on Spotify, make sure to reply to the questions in each episode. It helps me interact with you more, and it helps to build a sense of community together, because that is what we are. We all go on these adventures together. You listening in the United States are maneuvering around this swamp with someone from Australia, someone from the UK, and that is pretty special. Also, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, leaving a review is one of the biggest ways that you can give back to the show. It helps the show get better, it helps more people find it, it's just great. If you would like to request an animal for a future episode, you can do so by going to relaxwithanimalfacts.com and going to the Submit and Animal Request tabs. To reach out to me, Steph Wolf, for any other reason, you can do so by sending an email to relaxwithanimalfacts@gmail.com or by going to the Instagram relaxwithanimalfacts and sending a message there. If you would like to learn more together, I encourage you to come over to the Patreon, where for as little as a dollar a month, you can learn with me for an extra 4 episodes a month. And by your joining me on those adventures, you are actually supporting the show and its mission in helping people love animals more and relax with them. That is patreon.com/relaxwithanimalfacts. The facts used in this episode came from nationalzoo.si.edu, nwf.org, nationalgeographic.com, tpwd.texas.gov, and etimonline.com. What an amazing animal we have learned about today. The American alligator, a dinosaur walking among us, one that, especially in real life, merits an immediate respect. It is no surprise to me that people love these creatures so much. I hope you have enjoyed this episode as much as I have, and I look forward to our next adventure together with the next animal. Take care.